And you see, that's because normies are idiots. So there you go. I hope that all makes sense. Greetings. It is the Great One himself, founder, Cynical Libertarian Society, CYNLIBSOC.com on the interwebs. Yes, you are correct. Last week, there was only one podcast. It's because I was actually working my ass off last week. For money, not for charity or anything like that. Yeah, I didn't have time. We fucking worked our asses off. So I'm doing something today. This is a test. This is a test of the emergency broadcasting system. And actually, this is a test of recording with the Streamlabs and multiple audio, blah, blah, blah. So anyhow, this is partially a test, but this is also something that I've been wanting to do. I got an episode of Pseudopod that I want to do this with. But then this morning, so as you may or may not know, I listened to the podcast Pseudopod and Escape Pod. They also have Podcastle, which is fantasy stories, which I've tried listening to, and they're so fucking bad. They're astronomically bad and astronomically uninteresting because fantasy mostly caters to women. So Pseudopod is the horror stories. And they're pretty fucking bad because they mostly cater to women. And we're going to do an episode of that podcast the same way we're about to do this one. So this is a Escape Pod episode. Escape Pod is their science fiction podcast. Now you would think you're getting into science fiction. My God, some science fiction. Can we have some science fiction? You know, Star Wars, Star Trek, 2001 Space Odyssey, you know, whatever. Alien. Science fiction, you know, aliens, spaceships, laser guns, Han Solo, Luke Skywalker, Darth Vader, even though that's more science fantasy, you know, Captain Kirk, Captain Picard, who sucks because he ain't got no hair and he's a pussy. Whatever, okay? Science fiction. Robert Heinlein. You know, I got my Robert Heinlein books right over there. Babylon 5, science fiction. Can we have some action? Can something happen? And the answer to that question is no, it cannot. Because you see, my friends, women, the way they destroy everything, the way everything women touch, they transform it into shit. Women have destroyed science fiction. So I haven't listened to Escape Pod in a while because I was catching up on the Pseudopod, and I finally blown through almost all the episodes of Pseudopods, and I've moved on to catching up to Escape Pod. I listened today to 4 episodes of Escape Pod, and they were all terrible. And they're all about like the episode I'm about to play for you. We're going to listen to this together. We're going to critique it along the way. And this is going to be 20 minutes and 39 seconds of your life that you're never going to get back. And you're lucky this is a short one. Because the one I listened to was longer. And it went on. And it felt longer than it really was. But it felt like it was never going to end. And the whole time I'm saying, well, this is an interesting setup. Is anything ever going to happen? And the answer is no, it's not. So let me just get started because I could just ramble here. I got to get this going. We're going to get this knocked out and recorded because I got to go do something in 1 hour from now. So I got to get my fucking shit together. So let's just hit it. And hopefully all the technical shit will work out correctly and this will actually get recorded and
Escape Pod,
mixed and
episode
all that other
731.
Stuff.
For whatever we lose. By Jennifer Donahue.
Jennifer Donahue. Now, in case you're wondering, because you might be wondering, you might be saying, Jennifer Donahue, I wonder if she's hot. No, guys. No, she's fat. She's fat and she's dumpy looking. Got her picture right here. Link will be in the show notes. She's very below average. Now, I mean, she's a Clary 7. But for the rest of us...
Hello, and welcome to Escape Pod.
She's a 3.
Your weekly science fiction podcast.
That doesn't actually, you know, do any science fiction.
Barton, your host for this episode. Our story this week is For Whatever We Lose by Jennifer R. Donahue. It was first published in issue 37 of Luna Station Quarterly in 2019. Jennifer R. Donahue grew up at the Jersey Shore and now lives in New York with her husband and their Doberman.
Jersey. New York. Now, at least to her credit, she's got a husband, but of course we got to mention the dog. The fur baby! Her dog.
Though she got a bachelor's degree in psychology, she has always wanted to write.
She has a bachelor's degree in psychology. I wonder if she's still paying for that. But wait, hold on, but wait.
She currently works at her local public library.
She got a bachelor's degree in psychology to work at the library. Bachelor's degree in psychology to work at a library. Working at a library is putting books on a shelf and showing the homeless people who are in there basically to use the bathroom and bathe in the sink how to log on to the public computer. Okay, she has a bachelor's degree in psychology to work at the public library.
Where she also facilitates a writing workshop.
She facilitates.
Her work has appeared in Escape Pod, Syntax and Salt.
She facilitates a writing workshop because people need a workshop to fucking write. Just write. You don't need a fucking workshop. Just write,
goddammit.
Dreamforge
and elsewhere. Her cyberpunk novella, Run with the Hunted, and its sequel, Run with the Hunted 2, Control-Alt-Delete, are available on Amazon and many digital platforms.
No, I did not look on Amazon to see how those
sold. Sturgis holds a PhD in intellectual history
and specializes
in science fiction, fantasy, and Indigenous American studies.
A PhD in intellectual history and specializes in Indigenous studies. Oh my God.
She is staff on the Starship Sofa podcast, editor-in-chief of Hocus Pocus Comics, and faculty at Lenoir Ryan University and Signum University.
And she works at a university.
She lives with her husband
because she can't get a real job. She can't get a job in the public sector doing anything that anyone would want her to do, that anyone would pay her to do. So she works at a university.
Blue Ridge Highlands of Virginia in the United States. Her website is amyhsturgis.com. Now, make sure you're strapped into your tin can of a spaceship.
Why?
Because it's story
time. Why do we need to be strapped in? I've listened to this story. Nothing's going to happen. There's no reason. Guys, you could take your seatbelt off.
For Whatever We Lose by Jennifer R. Donahue.
A fat woman.
Narrated by Amy H. Sturgis.
Who works at the library.
I lied to meet an astronaut.
And there,
or
so we
my
start.
My dad did, which is the same thing.
Oh, yeah. My dad did it, so that's the same as me doing it. So if we start off with a woman, it's a female character. It's always a female character, okay? I need to start keeping a tally of these podcasts. It's always female main characters. That I'm serious. It is like a 2-to-1 ratio. It's mostly women and homos and trannies writing about female characters. I listened to 4 episodes of Escape Pod today. All 4 episodes, the main character is a fucking woman. And then the female characters in the stories outnumber the male characters. 2-to-1. At least. So it starts, so we had a woman character, and the first thing we start off with is her saying, I lied. Well, actually, my dad lied, but that's the same thing. So she's going, take credit for what your father did. Exactly, because that's how you women fucking operate.
Supposed to be at least 8 years old to attend, and I was only 6, but the tallest in my class. So,
and plus, women don't really mature
much
beyond 6 anyway.
Instead of going to the beach or playing in somebody's backyard and running barefoot to the ice cream truck when we heard its roving song.
Yeah.
He was the 3rd man on the moon. And at home, I still have the framed and autographed NASA black and white of him, young and serious in his spacesuit. It used to be one of the pictures on his Wikipedia page, a piece of my memories, there on the internet for everybody to see.
Sweetheart, you don't own him.
It's probably the same promo photo he used for years and years. I wonder how many other kids kept theirs. Thinking of it like that makes him seem still alive. Like, as long as all those pictures are out there...
Like, as long as all those pictures are out there...
He can't possibly be gone.
Oh my God. Like...
I remember him writing his name on the glossy page with a black pen.
Wow.
I remember feeling...
He wrote with a pen. Wow, this, yeah. So how are we doing here, guys? This is awesome science fiction so far, right? This is, yeah, we're put on your seatbelt, guys. We're really taking off here. This is really kicking ass so far, right? Isn't this exciting?
Very important. This was a real autograph, not like the one I got from Mickey Mouse and friends at Disney World in February.
Boy, this is
some kind of talk, I'm sure.
This is some groundbreaking science fiction.
And I wonder if any of us appreciated it.
Wow, I wonder.
This man walked on the moon.
Yeah, whereas you just wrote this shitty story.
Probably lied so my dad could meet the astronaut. When I was 6, my dad was still kind of a kid himself, just 25.
Okay.
I thought of this when I was 16, and we rented a houseboat on a Florida vacation.
Okay.
So we'd be out in the Gulf and away from light pollution when a shuttle launched at Cape Canaveral.
Okay.
We got up at 3 in the morning and looked to the northeast for a light in the sky that never came.
Mm-hmm.
And we went back to bed. After that, I started to think about maybe being an astronaut. My dad never talked about what he wanted to be.
Yeah, because men don't talk, whereas so far in the story, you've talked a lot about yourself, and there's no story so far. Nothing is happening. This is just a woman talking about her female... Right, it's a woman writing about a female character's internal fucking thought monologue. Right. Have you heard anything about this character you give a shit about? Yeah, we could have gone and got some... Who cares? And by the way, where's the mother? There's no mention of the mother, but that's right. As Sheryl Sandberg has taught us, you don't need women to raise children. No mother has been mentioned, as far as I recall. We'll find out because I'm listening to this again. As far as I recall, the mother is never mentioned. Where is the mother? I don't know. Maybe the kid came out of a test tube. Maybe the daddy farted the kid out. I don't know.
Every kid who went to see the astronaut was given a Mylar balloon that looked like an astronaut in a spacesuit.
Okay.
I don't remember the food or if there was cake or even astronaut ice cream, but that balloon made me happy. It was the kind of balloon which would keep its air for a really long time.
It was the last
time
you were ever happy in your life, because then you discovered the patriarchy and how it was oppressing you and holding you down.
And I played with it and even talked to it while we were still at the event.
She talked to it. She talked to
the balloon. It bobbed on its red ribbon behind me as we crossed the parking lot.
Did she say bobbed? Isn't that sexist? Or I guess women could be named Bob now, too. Well, trannies could be called Bob also.
Sky white with clouds and ready to pour the way it only does in August.
We're talking about the weather.
The asphalt steaming after
the science fiction story. We're talking about the weather.
And greener and newer.
Mm-hmm.
The car was an oven from our time inside, and I put my window down as we drove off.
Oh, boy.
The astronaut was sucked out, red ribbon burning through my fingers, pulled up into the white sky, then too far away to see, just like that.
I'm sure that's not the first man that got away from you.
Dad looked back when I started to cry and said, "Houston, we have a problem here." But I didn't know what that meant and didn't get the joke. I just knew...
No, you didn't get the joke because you're a woman.
My astronaut balloon was gone. And I'd never have another one.
No, you wouldn't.
The idea of gone terrified and offended me. It's why I never used stickers, hoarded them instead. It's probably why I used to be afraid of the dark. The yawning darkness that replaced the normal.
Yes, yawning. That's what I'm doing. This story that I'm supposed to be putting on my seatbelt for is making me yawn. So this is what happens when you let a woman write. Nothing has happened yet. It's just her talking about her feelings.
Gone was gone, though.
Yeah, gone.
And traffic had started to move,
like
so my
youth
dad drove
and your
on,
beauty,
scanning through the radio stations.
Your ability to wear
cry.
Size 1 pants.
But the watching what will happen next kind, not the surely this will produce results kind. And then he stopped on a song and turned it up.
Mm-hmm.
Werewolves of London always made me smile and sing along.
Great. Now we're talking about
the liquor
song
store,
that's on the radio.
Sounds like a terrible thing.
Well, if I had a kid
My
like
dad
you,
brought
I'd need
me
booze
to the liquor
too.
Store when I was 6. But the liquor store had a 7-foot-tall werewolf cutout that talked when you stood in front of it. And
that's why
I liked it there.
Now remember, guys,
would never in his life buy that kind of beer, but the radio and that werewolf cutout made losing my astronaut balloon not so bad.
This is
and
science fiction.
Grown, older than my dad was that day, and impossibly, my dad is gone too.
Oh, my daddy's gone.
He and the astronaut both died in the same way.
They died.
Motorcycle accidents. Mm-hmm. And now I have my own Houston, I have a problem here. A real one. Not just a little girl who's lost her balloon. I'm not crying now.
Now you're an old woman who's lost her mind and you're writing this shitty story.
Because I've trained for this.
Oh, you've trained.
Years of training.
Years.
Pushing stress levels, staying sharp, staying calm.
Did you stay thin?
Excess moisture in the cabin would play hell on the equipment. Tiny globes salty like the Gulf on that vacation, catching fish that croaked in the air, looking at the night sky.
Ah.
The shuttles are gone now, too. Mothballed in museums or parked in one of those airplane graveyards in Arizona or New Mexico.
I wonder if anything's going to happen in this story anytime
soon. Dreaming
of
the sky.
Do you guys have any idea what's going on?
It will take 13 minutes and 48 seconds for Houston to hear my voice and learn of my problem.
Oh, 13. Okay, we finally have a clue of what might be happening in the story. It took this long. So it's going to take Houston 13 minutes to get her transmission. So we can kind of now deduce that she's out in space and she's a long way off. Holy shit. How many fucking minutes of listening to this fucking woman talk about her fucking feelings and emotions and her inner dialogue did we have to fucking survive in order to get to the actual, just a fucking hint of an actual science fiction story? Oh my God, I'm so glad. I'm so happy that there's a podcast of science fiction stories that features so many women writers.
The moon I orbit isn't Earth's moon, but one of Mars's mismatched pair, Phobos. My problem isn't going to be fixed with duct tape. My problem is unlikely to be fixed.
Well, yeah, because in order to fix the problem, you would have to do some work. You'd have to put some effort into it. Women don't put effort into it. Women sit around and wait for men to come and bail them out.
But I knew the risks. And there wasn't a single step along
really?
The way here.
I mean, so remember, you're the same person. You're a woman. You're the same person who doesn't understand the risk of having sex. Because you said, oh my God, I accidentally got pregnant. Right? That man got me pregnant. I don't know how I got pregnant. I was on 19 different forms of birth control. I must have been taken up by space aliens and impregnated with a squid tentacle. That would be actual science fiction. Okay?
That was without risk. That's probably why I did it. 6 months in a tin can by myself. And I.
You did it because you wanted to be a man. You did it because you wanted to have it all. You did it because you wanted to ruin everything the way women ruin everything. And you spent 6 months in a can by yourself because ain't nobody else wanted to hang out with you because you're really fucking annoying.
I had a
annoying.
Lot to think about, like the choices that brought me here. Like the choices
yeah.
that could have kept me home.
Yeah, sit around, just think about yourself all the fucking time.
Would I have joined the Navy in the first place or been tapped for NASA?
Why are women joining the Navy?
If my dad hadn't taken me to see that astronaut, would I have applied for this mission specifically if he had lived? I can listen to Werewolves of London almost 8 times before I'll hear back from Houston. And they'll probably just say, copy, Suzanne, while staring at all of their screens, trying to figure out how fucked I am. I never even knew what my dad's favorite song was.
See, we almost had a hint of a science fiction story there. So, all right, so she's out there. She's in space. Something's wrong. Oh, are we going to have a science fiction story? No, let me talk about my daddy some more. And then women wonder why men are walking around going, how come you chicks have so many fucking daddy issues? Do you notice so far that this science fiction story, I never air quotes there, is mostly about her daddy issues? This is not a science fiction story. This is a daddy issue story.
Just that he hated Bruce Springsteen's Sandy.
Doesn't everyone?
It was a perfect sunny day when I got the call. He was already gone. There had been an accident, a terrible accident, and they weren't going to be able to save him. I couldn't get there in time. I couldn't do anything in time.
No, because you're a woman.
We hadn't talked for a while, actually, and I'd been thinking about calling him.
You know, because you were too busy with your career and everything.
I could no longer call him. I could only go through my saved voicemails in the hopes that one from him was there, so I could hear him say my name one last time.
All right, there was an accident. There was a terrible accident in that I just discovered that the hotkey to start and stop recording in Streamlabs is a spacebar, which also is the hotkey for VLC Media Player to play and pause the media. So I just stopped recording while I was fucking recording. Thankfully, I actually noticed that before I finished the entire podcast talking to myself, which is, in fact, what podcasting actually is. However, unlike this story, I say story in air quotes, that we are listening to, even when I talk to myself, there's a fucking point to it. And it's not about my goddamn daddy issues. Let us, assuming I cannot fuck up the technical aspects of this, continue.
Sunny day when I got the call. He was already gone. There had been an accident, a terrible accident.
Terrible accident. Great one. Fucked up recording.
I couldn't get there in time. Mm-mm. I couldn't do anything.
No, because you're a woman.
We hadn't talked for a while, actually, and I'd been
daddy
thinking about calling him.
Issues,
and then
daddy
I could no longer call
issues.
Him. I could only go through my saved voicemails in the hopes that one from him was there.
Daddy
so I could hear him
issues.
Say my name one last time. But I didn't even get that. I wasn't an astronaut yet when my dad was still alive. I wasn't on my way to Mars or to Phobos. I'd hardly logged any flight hours. I have a laminated picture of me and him on my control panel from the day I met the astronaut.
Where's your mom?
I'm in a party dress, white frilly ankle socks, black patent wow. leather shoes.
It's kind of
my hair
kind
in
of
swinging
gender
ponytails.
Stereotyped, isn't it?
I had
shouldn't
a
you be wearing men clothing?
Camera face when I was a kid, a certain smile. Mm. When I got older, I didn't even want to look at the camera.
Yeah.
After my dad died, I had to relearn
Boy.
How to smile.
It is exciting
Judging
science
from
fiction,
comments,
isn't it, guys?
After some of my interviews,
Aren't you
didn't
happy that
really
women write
succeed.
Science fiction?
I'm
Aren't you happy that women are
alone,
writing anything at all, period? Isn't this
Unless
the most
those stories about
exciting
the
story you've ever heard? You're really sucked
moon,
into this, aren't
you?
You really want to hear more about her daddy issues, don't
hear
you?
Them anymore? Gone. Like my balloon in the infinite sky.
See, there's
ghosts
so
on the radio waves. Just one example of a list of supposed accidents hidden.
The balloon in the sky. See, it's gone. Her daddy, it's gone. See, the author is creating like analogies or whatever the fuck you call them here. I don't give a shit what they're called, man. It's like daddy issues.
Behind the Iron Curtain. I don't think it really happened. But in my long days, which might as well have been nights, it seems far more plausible.
Not as long as this story.
I imagine
it's hard to believe this is less than 20 minutes.
The differences between us aren't so big, and of course, my radio channels are open and waiting at any hour of the day. Mm-hmm. Copy, Suzanne. I don't say, oh, thanks for getting back to me, Houston. I wait. Pretty much.
See, even out in space, she can't help but be a sarcastic bitch.
Lift off from 39A at Cape Canaveral 6 months ago, the shortest time of the year to get to Mars. Settled into Phobos orbit.
Can you imagine a woman by herself for 6 months? How insane she would go? I mean, men can handle that because we have self-awareness. But a woman alone for 6 months, oh my God, that would have, it would be brutal on her. But the thing is, because she doesn't have self-awareness, I don't think she would be aware of even what's happening.
Deploy some CubeSats, take some pictures, tool around in a little rover that I leave on the planet-facing side of the moon to see how shielded from the radiation it will be, really. See if the water shielding in my little craft was worth believing in, though of course it must have been or they would never have sent me. Everything five
No,
no,
we, they experimented on you the way right now we're experimenting on old people with the Wuhan vaccine.
Till I was back on board and some space junk pinged off my service module, putting me into a spin I had to correct manually. until my power took a heart-stopping dip, and when it came back, one of my thrusters was a dented tin can.
Now see, let's talk for a second with a little bit more seriousness about writing technique. Now you see, if a man was writing a story, the story would be active. So you notice that she's doing this in the past tense and the passive. Right, she's here now, and she's reflecting. Yeah, I came back, and some space junk hit my ship. And so you already know that she's going to survive because she's telling the story. Because this is how women, I think this is a reflection of how women view the world. Once you get past the daddy issues and the constant inner monologuing about their feelings, women don't really look at the world as a place where you engage in action. You are not active. You are not participating. You are not creating. To a woman, the world is a passive place where things happen to you and other people rescue you because you have value simply because you exist, because you're a woman and women are perfect. And thus, women write things past tense, right? This happened to me. And now I'm sitting here waiting, thinking about my daddy issues. Now, if a man wrote this story, the story would be starting right now with, I had returned from the surface and a piece of space and something hit my ship and suddenly things were going haywire and I didn't know what the fuck was going on and then shit was happening and I did this and it's like, oh, fuck, and I'm leaking fuel and I got to fucking suit up and I got to go out and I got to fucking fix it. And it would be active. It would be present. It would be happening right now. You would not know what the outcome was going to be. And this is an inherent and important difference in the way men and women view the world and the way men and women write stories. That's one of the reasons this story is so fucking, for it's less than 20 minutes. I mean, the entire podcast is 20 minutes and 29 seconds or 39 seconds. Right, so the story itself is like 15 minutes long or less. And it already does it now. We're like maybe halfway through. It's like an eternity. Because it's just this woman talking about her daddy issues. Okay, we found out she's in space. She's orbiting the moon of Mars out here, a moon of Mars. And she's at a systems failure on the fucking spaceship. All we want to know is, what are you going to do about it? How are you going to solve this, right? How are you going to get back home? What are you going to do? And she sit here, well, let me tell you about my daddy issues and this balloon I had when I was a kid. Okay, and this is science fiction. This is why Adam Piggott was absolutely right when he says he doesn't read books written by women. And it took me a while. That's one place where it took me a while to catch up with Adam. Adam was ahead of me on that one. I have now hit the point where I am the same way. No, I look, see a book. It looks interesting. A woman wrote it. No, fuck it. I am not, especially, you know, science fiction. I'm not touching a fucking science fiction book written by a goddamn woman.
And I pulled an emergency EVA to seal the hemorrhaging fuel tank. My solar array was like an umbrella turned inside out.
All past tense. Right?
In the
all
balance
passive.
Of energy and propulsion, fuel and solar and inertia, there's wiggle room. But not that much wiggle room. Not enough to get back home in my lifetime. Fuel conservation and automated systems is one reason my mission is a solo one and not a duo or trio.
Well, also because nobody else wanted to be stuck in a spaceship with you and your daddy issues for 6 fucking months.
And there isn't anybody to come get me. That isn't how any of this works.
Wow, what are you going to do without men to come and rescue you? How are you going to survive?
Orbit Phobos. I will continue to orbit Phobos even after my power is entirely gone. And I am gone too. When Phobos spirals to the Martian surface, which it will, then I'll be along for the ride. I'm not sure they really considered this when they picked Mars for the next step of humanity, rather than our own moon. An impact that large would be catastrophic on Earth. How different will it be on Mars if we've been able to install life there? Though Earth...
You mean install the patriarchy? You mean go and colonize Mars and oppress all the indigenous peoples of Mars and spread our whiteness and everything? Because I'm pretty sure it would be white people doing this, right? It's only white people that travel to other countries and take over or travel to other planets and take
over.
This
moon is drifting away by infinitesimal amounts, and I'm not so sure that's better, or even if it will take longer.
Does any of this have anything to do with, I don't know, salt? See, again, if a man wrote the story would be about what the fuck do I do about my systems failure that has stranded me in orbit of Phobos, right? So she's stranded, orbiting Phobos, orbiting Mars by herself in a spaceship. And so this female author takes that premise and turns it into an exploration of daddy issues. A male author would take that premise and turn it into an exploration of how the fuck do I get out of this situation.
When he was a kid, 6 or 8 or 10, my dad wrote a short story about astronauts who were army guys sent to a different planet, and it turned out there were dinosaurs there. That was popular in science fiction for a really long time.
Yeah, because in stories about dinosaurs, things actually happened. And it wasn't just the women talking about their daddy issues.
Still living dinosaurs hidden right under our noses, in the middle of the Antarctic, which would also be mysteriously tropical, on the moon or on Venus, in the sublevels of a department store.
Right. All of which is not near as mysterious as why anybody would send a woman to Mars, because you know that the whole time she's just going to agonize over her daddy issues. And if anything goes wrong, she's just going to give up.
No dinosaurs on Mars, though. Maybe because our dreams of Mars were consumed always by the canals. We know now there weren't canals, but the stories take a certain significance, like we knew water was here somehow, and we only just had to keep looking. Keep looking.
You know what I'm looking for? I'm looking for any kind of exploration or examination or response to the situation which has been set up by the author, where you've got a person stranded in orbit around Phobos. Right? Instead of all of this introspection and talking about dinosaur stories and shit, what if we had a science fiction story where the action, first of all, where it had action. What if this story had some action in it? What if something happened? What if somebody in the story actually did something? What if something was actually occurring? Oh, but that would be patriarchal.
There is always a chance something like this might happen. There are so many steps along the way where situation normal can suddenly become so very bad. There is the litany of those who have gone before in our bid for the stars. It's amazing there haven't been more as we strap ourselves into tin cans and fling our fragile, flammable selves into the void. As we compete for the privilege, pushing every last limit. As we return, changed, in every way that might mean. Maybe, I thought, if I couldn't do it myself, maybe the universe would do it for me.
Exactly. Typical woman. I can't do it myself. Maybe, because since I am the center of the cosmos, maybe the cosmos will do it for me, because God fucking forbid I should have to do anything. I have a vagina.
At the beach once, I swam out just a little too
far. Now we're back to the beach. What
the
does this have to do
just a little too
with
strong.
You being
I wasn't
stranded
in, any real
in orbit
danger,
around Phobos?
Not like now, but in danger enough, pulled towards the jetty's big black rocks.
Oh my God.
My dad
on
beat
and
the
on
lifeguard
and
getting
on
to
about
me.
And
as he got
and
close,
my dad
all I could think of to say
my
was,
daddy
I'm okay,
did this.
Dad. I'm okay.
Do you want to bang your dad?
Old,
did you ever manage to have sex with your dad before he died? Because
no,
I'm sensing,
you aren't.
I'm sensing some serious need to have your father's cock in your mouth here.
And he pretended to be bothered about whether his watch worked. He hadn't had the time to take it off. That watch still ticking. It hangs around my wrist.
I was going to say something, but it wasn't funny.
Non-essential weight allowances.
I was going to attempt to make a joke.
I never got the band adjusted, and by some fluke, it doesn't quite fly off on its own if I make a gesture.
Oh, boy. I wish you'd make a gesture of, I don't know, trying to solve your problem or just, you know, anything that could be even remotely construed as action. Action in this science fiction story.
Gesture much in my tin can? I listen to the watch tick, like when an animal is born very small and weak and gets wrapped up with a clock to simulate its mother's heartbeat.
Just more.
After the funeral, I brought my dad's CDs home.
More daddy.
And listened to them, one by one.
Oh, my God.
When I got to Wish You Were Here, the case was empty. Suzanne? There's a pause, but they have a captive audience and they know it. You have a couple of options. And I feel a surge of hope.
Your options are you could shut the fuck up about your daddy issues. Another option is you could write a science fiction story that has some actual action in it. But oh, wait, you can't do that because you're a woman and you're waiting for the cosmos to do it for you.
Hope. Like every time I change the radio station and in that empty static moment,
radio
I expect
station.
Werewolves of London.
Who the fuck listens to radio stations? If you want to hear Werewolves of London, which is a good song, Werewolves of London. That will be on my next album. I'll do Werewolves of London. Actually, I will not because I can't do that. Very good. But Warren Zevon, Werewolves of London, is a great song. But if you want to hear it, you just play it on your fucking device. You know, who listens to the fucking radio? Who?
Like when I was too close to the rocks and my dad was there.
Oh my God, back to my daddy
like
and the rocks and the shit.
I came to the sky to get my balloon back.
Yo.
But I know this isn't how it works. Being here is impossible. My dad being dead is impossible.
No, see, people die. And women don't understand that because women have a very limited understanding of the world around them because women never mature past the age of 16. That's why we're so highly involved right now in the Wuhan hoax, because women don't understand that people die. And so when the Wuhan happened and somebody came on the TV and said, oh my God, the Wuhan is going to kill millions of people. There will be millions of dead people piled up in the streets as millions of people die from the Wuhan. Women were like, oh my God, we can't let people die. People aren't supposed to die. And so now we've destroyed the economy in order to satisfy the needs of women, the emotional, daddy issue laden needs of women.
Now, so is my return. No matter how gently Houston can...
You know, this would be one good way to get rid of women. Just put them in tin cans one at a time and shoot them towards Mars. It would take a long time, but you know what? And yes, it would cost a lot of money. But then again, hold on. If we took all the money that we use for bailing out the banks and we spent that money instead putting women in tin cans and shooting them at Mars, not only could we get rid of a substantial amount of the female population, but it would be well worth it. That's a government program I would support.
Confirms what I've already accepted. I just hope he would have been proud of me.
She's hoping. Hope, sweetheart. Hope is not a process, okay? Hoping is not a process. And so there it was. That's the end of the story. That's the end of the story. Nothing happens. It's all 15 minutes of daddy issues, inner monologue, and zero action. This is what passes for science fiction in the year 2020. Well, actually, this kid did come out in the year 2020. We're so fucked. I mean, we're fucked every fucking possible way. There's no end to the fucking.
And that's our story.
It wasn't much of
the
a story.
The author has this to say about the story.
Now listen to this.
This is my most autobiographical story. Other than being an astronaut, which I am not, the memories that the narrator, Suzanne, shares are my memories.
And there it is. It's the author dumping her daddy issues into a story and passing this off as science fiction. And then, okay, and here's the thing. So you're this fat, dumpy woman that no one gives a shit about. So you write this story about your daddy issues. I mean, that's fine. I get that. The more pathetic part is that the fucking dimwits at Escape Pod Podcast got this story. It came in as a submission. They read this and they said, hey, this is great science fiction. We put out 52 podcasts a year. This is so good. Out of all the stories that we've gotten sent to us, this should be one of those 52 stories a year. Which tells you something about the quality of all the shit they're not publishing. Of course, now the thing is, I bet a lot of the stuff they don't publish is much better, because a lot of the stuff they don't publish is written by men, for men. It has action in it. It doesn't have any daddy issues. But this story is very clearly therapy. This is self-therapy. It's a great one. Your podcast is self-therapy. You keep telling us all the time that you do the podcast for therapy. Yes, but my podcast is at least interesting. Things happen. This was the most boring. Absolutely boring. I'm saying, okay, great. She's stranded in orbit. You know, what is you? We don't even find out what Houston says to her. You've got a couple of options. Well, what are the options? I suffered through all of this fucking daddy issue shit. And once again, see, here we see another fundamental difference between men and women. As men, we want, even if you fail, attempt to solve the fucking problem. Men, we want to fix things. There is a problem. You're stranded in orbit around Phobos, around Mars. You're fucked. Let's fix it. Women are just like, nope, I'm just going to give up and then just sit here and lament about my daddy issues. This is why if women ran the world, we'd all still be fucking crawling around in the mud trying to figure out where our next meal is going to come from. Because women will not get up off their fucking asses and fix anything. And in fact, as I have pointed out in the past, women actually ridicule men because men try to fix things. And then, of course, women benefit from this with things like washers, dryers, dishwashers, vacuum cleaners, automobiles, electricity, refrigerators, you know, all these conveniences that were created by men as a way to fix things, to solve problems. And women just sit around, oh my God, my daddy, he like took me like to meet an astronaut, like, and I got this balloon, and like I let go of the balloon because like I'm a woman and I don't know like why I should have to hold the balloon myself, like somebody else should do it for me because like I have a vagina. It's like the balloon like flew away in the air, and like my daddy said, like, Houston, we have a problem, and like I didn't get the joke, but like now I finally do get the joke because like I finally watched the movie with Tom Hanks in it, and like now my daddy's also dead, and so like I'm gonna make like a parallel like between the astronaut balloon like flying into the air and like my daddy being dead, and like I'm gonna talk about like my daddy issues because like I tried really hard to satisfy my daddy all the time, like it was my daddy was all the time, and like my mother was completely uninvolved in my upbringing, but like that's okay because like Sheryl Sandberg said that like women don't need to be involved in their children's like upbringing for like the children to grow up like healthy and stuff. And so like now I'm stuck out here. I'm like orbiting Phobos, like around Mars, like around like in another, you know, like another planet, like in a spaceship, like in a tin can. And like I'm kind of hosed because like something broke, and like because I'm a woman and like I don't know how to use a screwdriver, like I can't fix it. And so like I'm gonna sit here and like wait for some people to talk to me on the radio, like, and I'm gonna talk about how the radio and like I listen to like Werewolves of London, and like nothing's going to happen.
The way I see it, this is a quiet, reflective piece that goes well with the general isolation.
A reflective piece. It's a quiet, reflective piece. No, it's you spending 15 minutes telling me about your daddy issues.
So many people are dealing with right now. I know that I've more than once felt like I've been recruited into a trip to Mars without being trained for it.
The problems that people are dealing with right now, referring, of course, to the fucking Wuhan hoax and the isolation. Sweetheart, this is because of people just like you. Because of women. We've already covered this. Without women, there would be no Wuhan hoax.
Space is a natural home for that kind of emotion. We can't forget that no matter how far the distances between us are, there's always something that can bridge the gap.
Daddy issues.
Whether it be artifacts, radios, or our own memories. Though, I can't help but wonder what went down in NASA to plan for a mission like this. One person alone in a cramped spaceship for months? Shades of the manned Venus flyby proposal. A proposal that, incidentally, was better off for not getting off the ground, thanks to a powerful solar flare during its intended flight time. But that's the power of memory, isn't it? Not just regretting all the times we didn't have and the things we lost, but making difficult realities tolerable. Stay tuned next week for Relative Fortune by Brian K. Lowe, a story about family connections across space and time.
Oh boy, we're going to have another story about daddy issues next week. A story about family connections, because that's what science fiction is all about. Family connections.
Escape Pod is a production of Escape Artists, Inc., and it's brought to you with a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License.
I just made a derivative of it.
Don't sell it.
I just changed it.
Go forth and share it.
Sue me. Sue me, you stupid cunt.
If you'd like to support Escape Pod, please rate or review us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts,
I'll review you, all right.
Or your favorite app. We are 100% listener supported, and we
and your listeners are idiots.
Donations to keep the lights on.
You're getting
and the
no donations
humming.
From me.
You can donate via patreon.com by searching for Escape Artists or via PayPal through our website, escapepod.org. Patreon subscribers now have access to exclusive merchandise and content.
Hey, spend more money!
Our opening and closing music is by Daikaiju at daikaiju.org. And our closing quotation this week is from April Daniels.
Oh, this is rich.
I see a world that is terrified of me. Terrified of someone who would reject manhood. Terrified of a girl who knows who she is and what she's capable of.
Yes.
They are small and they are weak and they will not hurt me ever again.
Yes, you see.
Thanks for listening.
We're all terrified of these women who, and I don't know who this person is, but I'm assuming it's a tranny. You know, again, people are terrified of me. They're small and they're weak. No one's scared of you. Whoever the fuck you are, no one is scared of you. No one gives a shit about you. This weird, bizarre thing that you women and you homos and you trannies have, where you think everyone is so scared of you. Well, these people aren't doing exactly what I want them to do all the time, and they're not kissing my ass, and they're not praising me. Therefore, they must be afraid of me. No, we just don't give a shit about you. Will you just go away? I understand that you need attention all the fucking time. Okay, but I am not here to give you attention. I don't care about you. And the fact that your whole world revolves around me caring about you, and when I don't care about you, you're small and you're afraid. No, I just don't give a shit about you. Go away. Stop writing fucking crappy science fiction stories that are not science, that are not fiction. Well, actually, they're not fiction. This was about the author's daddy issues. This was not science. This was not fiction. It was not a story.
And enjoy your auditory adventures through time and space.
All right. Well, I hope that was as painful for you as it was for me.